the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We are at the Surfside Invitational at Ramblewood Country Club. The rain could not stop us. No. And you know who else can't be stopped? That is one Elliott Shore Parks. Brought to you by Groundworks. Tackle your wet basement, drywall cracks, or nasty smells coming from your crawl space by booking a free inspection at groundworks.com. I can attest to that. Elliott Shore Parks, what's up, brother?
What up? How you guys doing today?
Dude.
What up, E?
I'm doing great. Sixers have a top three pick. Yeah. I'm in great spirits.
Yes. Well deserved.
You know, before we get to the Eagles, as that is your specialty, as you're the Go Birds podcast, you seem to have, since the Sixers got the third pick, immediately pivoted to becoming an Ace Bailey fan account online.
Like one of those annoying high school muses.
Yeah, you're like the Belieber. You're like a Swiftie for Ace Bailey.
Ace Bailey season.
How did that happen so quickly, Elliot?
Well, to be fair, I told you guys, I think it was last week, that I liked Ace Bailey more than I liked Cooper Flagg.
You said he's Kevin Durant.
Yeah. So I wouldn't say this is a new take of mine, but yeah, I mean, you know, I have an opinion on it. I apologize.
No, I'm not guilty.
Here we
go.
Mopey Elliott again.
Elliott. It's just you've gone so hard with it. I'm just shocked by the vigor with which you're...
Well, I think it's because it's a great opportunity for the team. I mean, this team has been, you know, hard to watch, hard to follow for the past year. They finally get something to be excited about. And I think Ace Bailey is an awesome opportunity for this team. I think that he's exactly what they need. I think he has the upside they need. I think he's a big swing, which I feel like this team needs. And I think he's what, like, their roster is missing. So when they got that third pick last night, I think it was like a franchise-altering moment for them, potentially. And if they do take Ace Bailey, I think it would be an outstanding pick.
Do you think it's fair, just to get off the Ace Bailey thing for a second, do you have hope again for the – that's the sort of thing we're talking about today – for the organization moving forward? Is there hope again for you?
Definitely. And, I will say, I mean – I've probably defended – me and Ike, I would say, actually, have probably defended the Sixers more on these airwaves than any other, host, right, over the past few years.
Yep,
but
yep.
Even I last year, was out, right? Like, it was – I mean, I think the Embiid thing's a disaster. I think the Paul George contract was a bad one. Like, it was hard to have hope. But, now, if they actually nail this pick at three, there's, three guys that you could actually be excited about on the roster. We'll see how McCain comes back from his injury. But I think hope's the perfect word. It was the first time in a long time it didn't feel to me like this team was, completely down in the dumps.
Yeah, I think that when I think about hope, I think even if the Embiid thing doesn't work, even if the Paul George thing doesn't work, if you were to tell a team that they're starting a restart with Maxey, McCain, the three pick, all but one of your own picks and those two Clipper picks, you would look and you would say, all right, I have something to work with there. And it doesn't – there's not like this – pathway in front of you that some of these teams after they went for it are faced with, where they don't have it. Milwaukee's in hell. If they have to trade Giannis, their next seven picks, they don't, four of them are traded and three of them are swaps. That's horrible, and we're not in that situation. Okay.
Well, I do just, if you don't mind really quickly, I think hope is the right word for it, but I also think what's nice about this number three pick is there is no baggage with this guy. You think of all the guys that have been on the Sixers. All of them have a ton of baggage. Embiid has had baggage. Harden had baggage when he came here. Obviously, Ben Simmons did. Doc Rivers. There's been such a long run of guys where you can't feel a freshness for him. And I think that's why people gravitated to Maxey. I think it's why people were excited about McCain. And now next year, they'll legitimately have three guys that really don't have much negative baggage attached to them. And it's been a really long time since the Sixers have had that.
Yeah, and I think based on the Sixers got us a video last night of Jared McCain saying hi to the crowd after they got the third pick. And when we put it up on the screen, the reaction, people love McCain. You could just see the energy. People are really in on him. We already know how they feel about Maxey, too. So I think those are some, I think no baggage is a good way to put it with those guys. So we have four games on the schedule so far for the Eagles as they continue to ruin, the NFL continues to ruin the schedule unveiling tomorrow night. We have week one, Thursday night football at home against the Cowboys. We have week 10, Monday night football against the Packers. We have week 13, Black Friday against the Chicago Bears and the Commanders.
Is that a home game?
That is a home game.
Okay.
And then week 16 at the Washington Commanders, which is a Saturday. Elliot, any based on the games you know so far and what they still have to lay in, any thoughts or like, oh, they got screwed here or I like this here, anything there on the schedule for you?
I would say for week one, it's kind of like a bit of a disappointing matchup. I think it would have been more exciting if this was the Lions or the Rams. I think the Cowboys are, it's the Cowboys. It's always going to be a matchup that gets the city excited. And I guess we do finally get to see Jalen versus Dak in a meaningful game. It feels like through circumstances, we never really get to see them play both at the same time in a game that holds meaning. But I think the week one game was a bit underwhelming. As for the rest of the schedule, I mean, I think the other takeaway is just like they are obviously a massive primetime team. Like they are playing on Friday, Saturday. They're playing the first game of the season. They're in that Black Friday game. It wouldn't shock me if they played on New Year's. Like
they just won the Super Bowl.
No, I know. I'm saying the NFL is putting the Eagles every single place they can. Like they are the team right now in terms of just like what draws ratings. Obviously, they're competitive. So, you know, without seeing the other games intertwined in terms of how they laid out, I do think that the clear takeaway is the NFL is going to promote the Eagles as much as they can.
Do you, Ike, do you like the Eagles being like that team?
Yeah.
Because I'm still stuck on, I kind of like the, I miss a little bit the
underdog.
The underdog. Disrespected.
Yeah.
I guess I don't know how to carry myself as a fan of a team.
We're a two-time champion.
I get it.
We're the cream of the crop in the NFL right now. We're a young team. We're young on defense. We're very explosive on offense. They got a lot of guys that are you can view as sort of faces of the league. And quite frankly, not just because they won the Super Bowl, but because they won the Super Bowl, everybody's looking up at the Eagles. I look at the other teams. I don't know if there's another team in the league that has the level of excitement around the caliber of players that they have on their team like we do. I would literally have to think about that. Like some people may have it with the quarterback position, but then like Kansas City doesn't have great wide receivers. Like they don't have a running game.
You know what's crazy?
They just love Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce.
You know what's crazy is a team that might have as much star power but have not didn't do anything last year. Is the Bengals? Like the Bengals have
offensively, yes,
and even on defense they have Hendrickson on defense who's not happy.
Well,
but it's hard to think of another team, even the Lions, who have a couple of great players. I don't think of as having the star power that the Eagles
have. Think about the Eagles with DeJean and Quinion, and then you got Jalen Carter in the middle. Like we got it on both sides of the ball, man. They are a very exciting young team with a quarterback that has a face for the league. I mean, now you got to get him to be a little bit more vocal, but maybe he never will be. But if he had a little bit more of that personality sprinkled in there, we'd be running the league for sure.
Well, the other thing, too, about the Eagles is, like, you're right about the talent and, like, they're also interesting. Like, Sirianni and Jalen have clearly amassed a resume.
There's nothing interesting about Jalen.
I think there is. Like,
well, he's one of the 100 most influential people in the history of the world.
I like Jalen, Elliott. Okay, what's interesting about him?
I'm not saying Jalen himself is interesting.
Okay.
I'm saying Jalen and Sirianni have a very split view about them nationally compared to what their resume is. Like, Mahomes and Andy clearly have an outstanding resume. You're not going to find many people, though, that would look at Mahomes and go, oh, he's not actually elite. Or like go at Andy, well, he's not a great head coach. Like, I think nationally, I mean, frankly, even in the city, like people are still somewhat split on Jalen and Nick. So not only do you get a team in prime time that is competitive, that is talented, but you get a team where like people have strong opinions about them. And I think that all put together is why you see them in so many primetime spots.
How do you, Elliot, being the big dog, not just being the Super Bowl champion, but having that sort of star power, having that sort of national profile, it is different for the players than the other way. What is your confidence on the players' ability to attack a season as that team, as opposed to a team that is trying to prove that what happened last year isn't real anymore?
You know, so I think like the easy answer to that would be, oh, well, they're built for this. Like, you know, you see Jalen's work ethic, age, like all that. But the truth is, every single team that wins a Super Bowl, people think they're going to handle it well the next year. No one in 2017 thought the 2018 right. team was going to kind of collapse mm-hmm. the way they did. In 2022, nobody thought the 2023 team would be like that. So, yep. frankly, if there is actually any evidence of how they'll handle it, it might not be good because they handled something somewhat similar in 2022. And obviously, they won it this time around, which changes things. But you look at 2022, I mean, they didn't even win a playoff game in 2023. So I just think the truth is, having been around now three teams that were like involved in a Super Bowl, it's very, very hard to do. So I think the reality is, like, it's probably not going to be the walk in the park we think it'll be, despite the good roster they have.
Oh, I totally agree. Totally agree. We're on our stripes this year as fans getting through this season. This won't be easy. They are the hunted, right? Everybody's going to be gunning for mm-hmm. them. You look at the majority of their toughest games are on the road. A lot of road tough games. You got 9 road games this year versus having 8 last year. You're playing a first place schedule. You're the measuring stick for everyone. And you're going to get everybody's best shot. And it's a reason why you don't have a lot of repeat Super Bowl winners. Elliot just said it. A lot of people think they are going into those seasons with the right mentality and focused and trying to repeat, but it just doesn't happen. And I guarantee you, all those players and all those teams and coaches thought they were doing the right thing the following year and thought they had it sort of, but it's human nature.
Yep.
You just don't know how everybody's going to handle success. You don't know if you're going to get the same injury luck this year that you got last year. Like, a lot of those things go into whether or not you're going to be a repeat champion. Not easy to do.
I would say, too, like, with the schedule coming out tomorrow, like, you would ask, like, what the initial takeaways from the schedule were. And yeah. we don't know all the games yet. But, like, when I did my mock schedule, when I tried to put together, like, the ideal way this could go for the Eagles.
That was awesome, too. I don't think I've ever seen somebody put together a mock schedule, man.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
That's next level.
The one and only. Yeah. But, you know, normally when I do this, it is you can string together 3-4 games where it's like, okay, here's like a nice stretch where they can kind of rebound if they need to. And I know these games will look different by the time they're played. But when that schedule comes out tomorrow, I would be very surprised if we sit and look at it and go, okay, here's like an easy stretch. Because you look at their games, and there's the Raiders, who will probably be bad, right? But they're probably the easiest team they have on the schedule off the top of my head. I would say the Raiders. And then there's the Giants.
We got the NFC East.
Right, so there's the Giants. Like, those would be the two teams. But those are only three out of, you know, 17 games. Like, in 2023, and we were just talking about it, how it was a tough season afterwards. Like, what really hurt them that year, well, it was a lot of things, but that gauntlet where, like, they couldn't catch their breath because they had, like, the Chiefs, the Bills, the Niners, the Cowboys, like, all in a row, that really impacted them. So the schedule coming out tomorrow, like, will have a great impact on how this season goes. Like, how the games are laid out does impact teams, and they do have a very tough slate of games coming up.
So, speaking of next year, our good friend Ruben Frank, in his 10 Thoughts column the other day, wrote something about him believing that the Eagles' offense next year would be significantly improved, and he talked about continuity. He mentioned the Eagles' offense last year, 7th in points, 8th in yards, 10th on third down, 11th in yards per play, 13th in the red zone. And he mentioned having 10 of 11 starters back year over year is not something you see very often. And going back even the previous year, you still have a lot of cohesiveness. What sort of jump offensively in terms of production do you think is possible for the Eagles last year into next year?
I mean, I think it starts with the passing game. I think that you will see a better passing offense. And if you look at, you know, I know you guys played that Brandon Graham clip where he said he thinks it'll be a different offense and they're going to, you know, throw or more balanced.
More balanced.
Word he used.
Yep.
If you look last year, like I think they were dead last in the league in passing attempts in the first quarter. And I think they were 28th in the league in passing attempts on first down. So that's not like score dependent. Like, that's truly just like they went into games wanting to run the ball. I think next year you are going to see them probably at least try initially to throw the ball more. And if you told me why should someone believe the offense will be better next year? I truly do believe, like, Jalen winning those two games at the end of the year. Like, I think buying Jalen's stock right now is a smart investment. I think he is going to have a better year than he did last year. So the continuity thing doesn't really do it for me. Like, they still lost their offensive coordinator, their main play caller. Like, there's still going to be change there. But I just think the quarterback is going to have a great year next year.
I'm not questioning your football acumen. I am questioning your stock acumen. And then that when you're buying stock, it's usually when something is undervalued.
Yeah.
If you think he's the second best quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, the stock's pretty high.
Should we buy Apple stock too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, what you're right. The stock thing's not great. You're right.
Yeah.
But I was willing to let you cook.
You were cooking there for a minute.
He was cooking.
I was cooking, yeah.
He was cooking.
Well, to be fair,
sure.
You guys wouldn't place the Jalen stock too high. So any Jalen stock you have, I'll buy.
His stock's properly rated.
Yeah, top 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Top 10. Yeah.
Well, top 10.
We expecting an MVP caliber season this year.
What do you think?
Yeah. I really think those last two games were like a changing point in Jalen's
career. It's like a springboard into this year. Yeah.
If he doesn't finish top five in MVP voting, are you disappointed?
Well, what did he finish this year? I'm trying to
it was top five. He didn't make the Pro Bowl.
No, but I feel like he was in the conversation at one point. But regardless, I think if he doesn't finish top five,
mock MVP voting?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he clearly should have been top five, whether or not he was. He very clearly should have been.
Yeah.
But I do think, like, Jalen has talked about how that loss in the Super Bowl, like, did weigh on him. And we've spent a lot of time on this station talking about, like, why has Jalen been different, right? Like, and I do think the win has changed him. So I do expect, now look, will he set the franchise record for completions in training camp? Like, that's going to be tough to do. That is going to be tough to do. But I do think there's a world where he has a better season next year now that Super Bowl loss is off his back.
Well, I'd hope so.
Well, but I'm actually going to agree with Elliot here on those two games potentially changing him. I think sometimes we look at – shut up, Jack. Sometimes,
I actually do agree. Sometimes I'm saying with a smile because I like messing with Elliot.
Well, sometimes we look at progress. You know, the phrase progress is not always linear. It really isn't. You expect players to get better a little bit every time, and that's not really what happens. Sometimes there are moments that are forks in the road, and sometimes they're bad. You know, something can happen to a player. It happens in basketball. They miss a big free throw. All of a sudden, they can't hit free throws anymore, like Nick Anderson. Or sometimes something happens good, and it sort of crystallizes how they'll play or how they think about the game. And I think there is a possibility that what we saw in the NFC Championship game in the Super Bowl was not outrageous. He didn't throw for 400 yards. Like,
they can be duplicated.
Yeah, like what he did is a lot of what we were looking for all season long for those of us who thought that the offense could be more productive. So I do think that those two games, if he maybe saw something or felt something or you know, something just clicked in a way that if he carries it, and I also do believe about him that he is one player on this team where I believe in his ability to handle success. Like, I don't think he's going to come into this season as a guy who's resting on his laurels and all those things. So I think it is setting up for that. I think it is setting up for a season where he can, like, really take a leap where you say he is, where I would believe that he is where you say he is, if he takes that leap.
I do agree with you, like, you know, not resting on his laurels. But, like, he did have an outstanding 2022, and he came out in 2023 and was far more reckless with the ball. I thought he played way more hero ball in 2023, or at least tried to, than he did in 2022. So I just don't think any of these guys, and it's not even really about them, I just don't think we can confidently say any of them are ready to handle success, because we've never actually seen them do it. And the only example we have of them trying to do it, they failed at it, right? So,
But I like what I've seen this offseason from everybody. I mean, listen.
I agree with that.
We all love Saquon. Yeah. He's pretty much the only one that's been making sure he hits all the right
parties.
Yep. Yes.
Yep. But even the wrong parties.
Yeah, everybody else has been pretty much sort of low-key.
Well, he knows season probably doesn't begin until week 12 or whatever.
I agree.
Right.
So, you know, Jalen has done his, you know, sort of make his appearance at certain upscale events, as he should, going out representing the organization and being a Super Bowl MVP. But I think he's been toned down for the most part, right? I think Nick Sirianni, out of everybody, has handled it probably the best.
Dude, I love new Nick.
Yes.
Oh, so in on Nick.
Because he's been locked
in. He's trying to get that contract, you know?
Yeah.
Got to lay low, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't mind that. And I don't mind ownership saying, see how you handle this offseason first. Just make sure you're not down in Avalon with your shirt off.
Come on, give it 2 weeks, though.
I'm going crazy. So I kind of like the way that the offseason has gone thus far.
Elliot, if you won the Super Bowl, would you be at every big party like Saquon, or would you be more like Jalen?
Come on.
Little amount of success I've had in my career and the way I self-inflate, there is no question if I won the Super Bowl, I would have a disastrous next season.
Well, hold on. It could be happening with Eagles Insider of the Year.
Yeah, honestly.
Could you imagine the video of Elliot with Chalamet and all banged up with Tim Chalamet?
The Elliot hand twirl?
The twirl as he stands.
The truth is, I think I could envision myself getting in that scenario. That's exactly how I would handle it.
Depending on when we won the Super Bowl in my career, I could go either way with it.
Oh, really?
I mean, if I won it when I was younger, I definitely would have been.
Well, what about 04 Ike? What about 04 Ike?
Yeah, 04 I probably was a little more tamed by
grown up.
Yeah, a little more tamed by then. I still would have won it. I would enjoy it.
Oh, you would have been. Yeah. You would have been out there.
So, Elliot, you're not in studio with us, but we have to keep you just for the beginning of what we have coming up next, because I've done a lot of, you know, I wouldn't say half-hearted. I've tried my best to defend Paul George. And what he said today, I think we all need to be here for, because it's actually infuriating. And Daryl, make some phone calls.
Make some phone calls. We got to go. By the way, Phil's game officially postponed.
Philly's game, doubleheader tomorrow.
Doubleheader. Okay. 1 and 6:15. So if people are heading down to the ball game, turn around.
Turn around. There's no game. We will
6:15.
Yeah.
We will play
so long in between games.
So they can do two admissions, right?
Yeah.
It's a two admission.
It's not an old school doubleheader.
Yeah, so everyone's got to leave, and then the new people got to come in.
Yeah, I guess.
So we will have that audio. We will play for you and play for Elliot of Paul George coming up next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Ramblewood Country Club for the Surfside Invitational. Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money.
Dollar bill, y'all.
It's a WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. I don't mind Justin back there.
What have I told you? This, I believe, is the only Wu-Tang song I like.
Oh, really?
I think so. Yeah, I'm not a big Wu-Tang fan. Love Method Man, but I'm not a big Wu-Tang guy.
Hugh's not happy. The Peanut Gallery is not happy.
Here's what I say about Wu-Tang. Great, but also overrated.
That's where
I put it.
Right.
It's like, they have a lot of great songs, but also a lot of songs you're like, skip, 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 5 minutes and 43 seconds of what? Not even a chorus in there?
Exactly. Like, see, I need the chorus.
Give
everything.
Me the Ghostface album. Give me the Method Man album. Right. But the whole Wu-Tang Clan album.
Yeah, I'm good.
We are at the Surfside Invitational at Ramblewood Country Club. Elliot Shore Park's still with us. Elliot, Twitter question. You'll be interested in this one.
I bet he's a big Wu-Tang fan.
Elliot, no, he's a Kanye guy.
Yeah, he's a Kanye guy, aren't you?
interesting. What happened?
Yeah, Wu-Tang has no bangers.
You
just said it. They got no chorus.
Yeah, but when you say it, it's different.
Yeah.
When Spike says it, he's a music guy.
No, I didn't say no bangers.
Got a music pod. Yeah.
I didn't say no bangers. The Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. For the best selection of diamonds to fit every budget, visit the home team at Mark's. Experience the difference at Mark's-Jewelers.com. Do you agree with Elliot Shore Parks that Ace Bailey is better than Cooper Flagg? 86.8% say no. So... Wow. You got a ways to go on that one. Yeah, well, they could be. You never know.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So, you know, the Sixers under contract, the three big contracts they have are Tyrese Maxey, Joel Embiid, and, of course, Paul George. And you might remember that Paul George suspended Podcast P to concentrate on the Sixers.
How'd that go?
He announced that he suspended
Was it a week later he was shut down?
He announced it on his social media accounts, and he only played, I think, 5 more games, and the Sixers, I think, won 2 more games. So, wrong time to pick PG. If you're going to say you need to stop podcasting to focus on the team, why were you podcasting the whole time? Okay, whatever. So he shuts it down, and I'm like, you know what? I still think Paul George can play. Everything's going to be fine. Whatever. So... yesterday, the Sixers fans had, and we saw it, the the best moment we've had in a very long time in getting that pick last night. Complete elation. Everybody's happy. Everybody's on cloud nine today thinking about what they're going to do with the pick. Yep. We're having a good moment. And in comes Paul George to ruin the moment. All Paul George needed to do today was shut up. Paul George didn't shut up. Here's what he had to say.
You took a break from podcasting. Why is it important to do it and bring it back now?
I'm not a person that run away from anything. You know what I mean? Like, my dad kind of instilled that you face your problems and you move on from it. It's there and it's gone. And the reason I took the hiatus was more so I wanted to get my body healthy. I wasn't mentally there in a time of where we were at, the team, me dealing with injuries. I wasn't in a space of being jolly and happy. You know, obviously we had topics and guests to talk with, but it wasn't much for me to talk about just because of where I was at. So now it's obviously the summer, my downtime. I'm training, focusing on my body. I did procedures to get ready for this next season.
Yeah, it's difficult.
Kind of just want to.
Justin, what are you doing back there? What the hell was that? Justin, get on the mic.
It was recorded wrong. I got it.
Say it after me.
Where is Morgan Steiner?
Yeah. All right.
Unbelievable.
One take WIP. We all do things once. We assume everything's fine. It's unbelievable. Okay. What Podcast P was doing was
with always the dramatic Ryan Clark, too, there, by the way.
Was announcing that his podcast is back. First of all, I don't care if you do the podcast. Right. You don't need to announce that it's back. And don't put out the clip the day after we get the pick. Shut up. Shut up, shut up, shut up, Paul George.
Yeah. Why did he have to announce that he was – you didn't have to announce that you were taking a hiatus, and you didn't have to announce that you were coming back. You just did both of them.
Dude.
Without announcing it.
And you don't need to step away from your podcast to focus on your body. It's an hour a week.
Yeah, he acting like he's podcasting every day.
Yeah, what the hell are you doing? Focus on your body now. Just do nothing but focus on your body. Focus on your body. Focus on the game. Shut up. Stay out of the public just until preseason and training camp happens. I don't want to see one thing from Paul George.
Well,
shut up.
He's in the middle of the Eagles celebration, stuck in traffic with people just celebrating.
He might just be aloof.
He didn't realize that we just won the NFC Championship game and don't go outside down Broad Street.
Elliot, you're a contentsman. As a guy who loves content.
God, Elliot was still here.
Yeah, how are you? I'm sorry, I lost it. It made me so mad when I saw it. Just give us 24 hours, you idiot, to be happy. Anyway, Elliot, as a contentsman, how do you feel about Paul George releasing this today?
Well, I'll say this. I do a daily pod, and I can still take care of my body. So I think he has more than enough time to do both. But, you know, in all seriousness, like, they got to get Joel and Paul George out of the building. Like, they are rebuilding. They cannot have this guy that they drafted three come in and, like, learn habits from these guys. And I don't think either of them are bad people. Like, I don't think anything like that. But I just don't know if I want McCain, Maxey, and whoever that third pick is, like, learning from Paul George and Joel Embiid. So I know they're tough to trade. I understand it's not like the NFL where you can just cut guys. But, man, I think that next year has a chance to be, to use the word you used, like, to have hope, right? To have no baggage. But what it's going to be in the offseason is everyone excited, and then the season will start up, and it'll be the same thing. Like, oh, Joel's practicing. Now he's listed as questionable. Oh, now he warmed up. Paul George is – like, I really think they got to get these guys out of the building.
Paul George, I could understand you. Embiid, like, Tyrese Maxey seems to have evolved just fine with Joel Embiid there.
Has he?
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, it seems like last year they had to have a meeting to speak to Joel that Tyrese Maxey led. And I would also say Maxey, coming off that max contract, did not have a great year last year.
He didn't, but nobody had a great year last year.
Like, right. I agree. But I'm saying,
I think to an extent you can look at last year and, if you want to, you can say it was the worst year that could have happened. And it doesn't look a lot like the other years that they've been there. I understand what you're saying, but I think if it is costing you picks to get off of Embiid, I think you have to think very, very, very hard about that. Very, very hard about not doing
that.
They
just seem like bad leaders. And I'm not in love with the idea of young players learning under them.
Okay. Well, there he is. Elliot Shore Park's a great leader. As he mentioned, you can get the Go Birds pod wherever you get your podcast. Comes out every single day. What are you? I guess you. Oh, you must have an enormous schedule pod coming out. Is that going to be out immediately after the schedule? Well, I mean, you'll do the pod, but.
Well, without question, we'll have an emergency pod when the schedule comes out, reacting to it live. That'll be in the feed. And then also the next morning, I'll have another pod for you guys breaking down like the intricacies of the schedule. So big 24 hours coming up.
Will Seltzer be making a similar announcement like Paul George did about making his return to the Go Birds podcast?
Seltzer's enjoying himself in California. Some well-deserved rest right now.
Wait a minute. Can it be
well-deserved?
Can it be an emergency podcast if it's scheduled? Like, we know when the schedule's coming out. That's not an emergency podcast.
Well, guess what? It's getting called an emergency podcast in all caps. So, you know.
All right. All right.
All right. I'll talk to you guys later.
There he is, Elliot Shore Park. Everyone loves him. Everyone. You know what? After hearing that Paul George audio.
Did you hear it?
Well, what, thinking about the Paul George audio, you know, there are some times more than others where you might need some help to perform. And I was so mad after hearing that. It's sort of like prime Blue Chew time, 100% Blue Chew time. You know, we don't perform the way that we used to.
Well,
speak for yourself.
Speak for yourself.
Well, I am speaking for myself. And as you get older, it gets a little bit more difficult to perform in every way way that you used to. Trust me, you might not want to admit it, but she knows. I'm not talking to you, Ike. I'm talking to you in the car.
That's right.
She knows.
Yeah.
She knows.
She's well aware.
And that's why Blue Chew's here to save you.
Oh, man.
Blue Chew's here to make you better. And that is the goal of the WIP Afternoon Show. We want to make everyone better.
Enhance your performance.
Look, if there could be a Blue Chew for cutting sound there in the studio, I would get you that Blue Chew, Justin. Look, it's not a pill. It's a chewable.
That's right.
Yep.
So it is more convenient. It's got the same active. You're like, well, how does it work? Well, it's the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, Levitra, and Staxin. And it comes with a huge benefit. No doctor's appointment.
Nope.
Now, you go to make a doctor's appointment nowadays. What's it, May? They'll tell you, oh, we'll see you in September. You don't have time September. You got to go home tomorrow night. So you go to BlueChew.com. You meet with one of their licensed medical professionals right there on the website. Whenever is convenient to you, they find out the right mix. They don't even make you go to the pharmacy. We hate the pharmacy.
That's right.
I mean, nothing against pharmacies, but we're standing in line next to a stranger. Nah. They ship it right to your door in a discreet and
hard
package.
Yep.
There we go.
Well, you're usually the hard guy.
Yeah.
Cut that audio.
Yep. And because it's made here in the USA, they can keep the prices down.
No tariffs.
Speaking of the prices, it's going to be free for the first month.
That's all you was waiting on.
Yep. He loves the tariff line.
It's a good. Well, it was a good line.
Yes.
It might be cooked.
Yeah, it might be cooked. It was good while we had it, though.
Yeah.
We're going to make that first month for you absolutely free. We're going to pay for it.
People helping people.
Just go to BlueChew.com. Use the code 94. Your first month's going to be free. All you got to do is pay for the shipping. First month free. Just pay for the shipping. Code 94 at BlueChew.com. And then you can be ready to
chew it and do it.
It's time to chew it and do it.
All right.
Segment saved.
All right, Justin, you're back on. Why don't we talk a little? Now, Phils don't play tonight. They did play last night, so we always got to talk a little hardball.
Hardball.
Just as quick as you were in the house, you're back out the house.
Should we just do it?
Yeah, we'll
check it. It's all right. Okay. It will be all right. Yeah. So, Phils are rained out tonight.
Yep.
Phils rained out. So, tomorrow we got a little doubleheader. Jesus Luzardo starting game one. Aaron Nola starting game two. So, 1-6-15. Now, what I find interesting about that is which game is Rafael Marchand going to start? Because, as we know, Aaron Nola's ERA with Rafael Marchand is 7.6 something, and with JT, it's 2.79.
Yeah.
So, in a perfect world, an ideal world, let's just start JT in game two and let Marchand play game one. Seems like an easy split. We don't need to mess this whole thing up.
Do you think they'll do that, right?
I would think so. But, again, do you want to give JT the night game?
I was going to say, what's the pitching matchup looking like?
Well, Lazar's going to go game one. And then
not us.
For
the Cardinals.
So Sonny Gray was going to go tonight, so maybe he goes game one. I don't think it's a lefty-righty matchup.
Okay,
thing,
all right.
So. That is certainly
one. You knew what I was asking.
Yeah. Last night, a pretty nondescript, just they lost the baseball game.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, for as much as we talk about Kirkering and him not being as good as he was last year, I do think Strom needs to be put in that conversation as well. I mean, Strom last year made the All-Star team as a middle reliever, and I think it's pretty unfair to expect him to do that again, but still, it's been a lot less lockdown for Matt Strom this year.
Yeah, and boy, sometimes you see a pitcher throw a pitch and know that he blew it. As soon as Strom let go of that pitch, he knew it.
And for as good as Strom has been as a Philly, he's pretty demonstrative when he knows that he screwed up.
Yep.
And, yeah, that was certainly one of them. Kyle Schwarber extended his on-base streak, 47 straight games.
There it is.
He's inching closer towards Mike Schmidt, Philly's record, 56 games. I mean, listen, you guys are older than me.
Yep.
I obviously have a pretty good handle on sports history. It's not, obviously, DiMaggio's streak, but, like, I think if he gets to 53, does the coverage around it here, do people start getting kind of excited for it?
No.
On-base streak is not a real streak.
It's not the hit.
Come on, man. Yeah. Ted Williams, 84 games?
No, I don't think – if you were to –
We wouldn't know that. Yeah, we don't know that until you just told us.
People know hit streaks. They don't know on-base streaks. Well, I'm not saying it's not impressive.
It's time to evolve.
No.
On-base streaks just – hey.
What, we're going to celebrate an 0-for-4 because he walked the fifth time, and congratulations, you got
on
base.
Well, no. They got on first base one way or the other.
I think it's good that he's doing it.
Right.
But if your new mission is going to be to get everyone to celebrate the on-base streak like he's DiMaggio or something, I don't think that is going to happen.
If he passes Schmidt, is he getting a moment on the field where he can tip his cap?
No.
Is Schmidt in attendance?
No.
You guys are crazy.
You're crazy.
Well, it's awesome.
Oh, my God. He doesn't even play the field.
Spike. Oh, God. Don't go down that road. But you're right. You're right with the whole... He could go 0-for-3 or 0-for-4.
And he got on base.
Yeah, but that it doesn't feel the same.
Listen, he gets on base. It's all that counts.
I'm with you. I like it. Listen, but I'm with Spike with the whole, we can't stop and celebrate this.
Yes, we can.
No,
we stopped and celebrated Gene Segura getting 200 doubles.
We were forced to do that.
Yeah, nobody's happy with
that.
It.
Yes, I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
Celebrating like this is like putting Lieberthal in the Wall of Fame or whatever. Like, it's just not... This isn't something you celebrate. It's something you acknowledge. They should say it on the broadcast. I mean, what did he do? Give him the base?
Like Ricky Henderson?
Yeah. Well, Ricky Henderson just took the base for what it's worth.
Yeah. Do we have any thoughts on Bryce's new cut?
Yeah. What do we think?
I love it.
He shaved his head. I think he's pulling the Sirianni. Work for Nick. Work for Bryce.
I'll tell you what. Bryce hits two tomorrow. Two dingers in both games. I'm going to shave my head for him.
Wow.
There you go.
Two dingers?
Two dingers.
All right. You're just like the kid in Seinfeld.
to say that the hit wasn't enough or the home run wasn't enough.
Yeah. So he cut his hair, went 0-for-3.
Right.
Not the hottest start to the shaved head era, but it's all right. I like the
– Do you think
I actually like the look.
I know. I think so, too.
Yeah, I think it's a great look.
Do you think he's – is he like – you think he's freaking out a little bit?
I don't know if he's well. He's definitely frustrated.
Yeah,
100% frustrated. Maybe a little bit. Maybe a little, because I think there's been some balls that he's hit, and he's like, "That should be gone."
Well, do you remember when Nick shaved his head? Mm-hmm. I remember saying, "Oh, well, we lost that guy,
Brittany Sirianni."
Yeah, I mean, this is it. So I don't think that way about. I'm sure Bryce has had a shaved head before.
But
when you do something in the middle of it, and baseball players are very
superstitious.
But when you do something like this in the middle of a streak, it sort of tells you the person like doesn't know what else to do, and they're trying to change the mojo. Somehow.
But I also think it's baseball. Like I think they if they get on a hot streak, they don't change their underwear.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of the nature of the sport.
I'm not freaking out over it. It's certainly something that. He is acknowledging, so he's trying to, I believe, switch up the mojo. That's different than saying he's freaking out and he's panicked and he's worried. Mm-hmm. I'm not ready to go to that level yet. Listen, he's healthy. From everybody who knows more about baseball than I do, I'm not hearing anything that's distinctive about what's going on wrong with him. Mm-hmm. Right? He's tinkering with some things. And I think he'll figure it out. I just think as long as he's healthy, I'm good. I think he figures it out eventually.
And Rob Thompson had his theory on what he thinks is kind of happening with Bryce. He was on the morning show this morning and offered this up.
Yeah, it's difficult. And you know, I feel at times bad for Hart because he puts a lot of pressure on himself and he expects so much out of himself and he wants to lead this team and this organization and the city to a world championship. And so he's very hard on himself and that's just who he is. And he's, you know, I know everybody's talking about his body language this year, but it's been like that since he's been here and since he's been in the big leagues, really, when he struggles, it wears on him and because he cares so much. And that's really all it is.
Break out the sad violin.
Yeah, what the hell are we doing?
Yeah. Bryce Harper simply cares too much.
Yeah, I respect Rob, but I don't need that.
Like, feel bad for him?
Yeah, I don't.
He's hitting 240?
I don't need that.
Man. Yeah.
Bryce is fine.
Let's man up.
Yeah, we don't need to turn him into a sympathy case.
Yeah. It's like, and by the way.
He's fine.
As far as the guy who's struggling, he's getting the easiest ride for, and I'm well-deserved,
exactly,
whatever.
Exactly right. It's not like he's getting killed in the city.
No. You want us to make it harder on him. We certainly can.
Yeah. Nobody is, no, I totally agree. Yeah, I actually agree with that. That it's not. Now, he may put that pressure on himself because
sure.
He expects more out of himself. I can understand that. But there's no reason to feel or be downtrodden as if the whole world is coming down on Bryce Harper right now. He's not he's not carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders right now. A, the team is winning and playing decent baseball. He's the only one that is not having success.
Dude, hit 260.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, like – I'm with you on that. I don't know what that was about. I don't need to throw a pity party for Bryce. Mm-hmm. Love the guy, but he's all right. And I like the look.
Yeah, I like the look, too.
I like the look of the hair, man.
I think it's going to work.
Yeah, keep it that way, Bryce.
Two dingers tomorrow.
Okay.
Two dingers in the doubleheader. Is that it on the High Hopes Jackie Baseball?
That's it.
All right. 215-592-9494. Do you have hope for the Sixers now that they have that number 3 pick?
Can you imagine? Feel bad for Jalen. He carries the weight of the world
on his shoulders,
man.
Oh my God.
He wants to win so bad.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine that?
I would talk for 4 hours straight.
I wouldn't say a word. Yeah. I totally agree.
Yeah.
Like what? AJ doesn't want to win badly. Like I'm pretty sure they all do.
They all want to win.
They all want to win. They all want to have success.
Yeah.
I'm sure Bryce, he'll figure it out.
Wah.
Yeah.
All right. 215-592-9494. Patrick in Tabernacle, you're on WIP. What's up, Patrick?
Yo, hey guys. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you.
Hey, real quick, you're at Ramblewood. I'm cracking up because I used to live off the number 3 hole, the par 3, and we had so much fun there. Yo, Ike, I saw this kid, Bobby Roadside, in the day get nailed right in the head by a golf ball. He wouldn't move. The golfer said, all right, I'll hit it. And then he was the bully, and he's a jerk. And I'm glad he got hit.
Wow. Holy moly. Strong take, Patrick.
The sound of the golf ball hitting, it was either Bobby or Michael Roadside in the day, was unbelievable. Unbelievable. Crazy stuff. But anyhow,
what's his name, Bobby Roadside?
Spike Eskin.
Yeah, what's your problem?
Spike, I take a page out of Mr. Hill's book when he talks about acumen. The issue, and I'm not a... Listen, you are much – I'm not going to debate you because you'll just kill me on this. But I look at it just from a competitive point of view. This guy is he's so talented. I mean, the talent this guy has
Who?
Is ridiculous. Embiid. I'm talking
okay.
about the Sixers now.
Okay.
So you and the Sixers, the hope that you should have, is you hope that Joel gets off the team as quick as possible because nothing will change as long as Embiid is on this team. I don't care if you got the number one. I don't care from whatever. That guy, Joel Embiid, is just he sucks everything. He's going to suck everything, anything out of anybody that comes in there, man. It's just
pause.
He's a black hole, man. You know?
I don't feel the same way. I understand.
I know you don't.
Yeah, I understand why you feel that way. And I understand that it's easy to feel that way after last year. And I'm not even going to deny that I haven't felt that way at times. But if the goal – I just keep going back to 2013. When we had a team that had some good players and, you know, players that ended up being really helpful other places. Drew Holiday's won a championship, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
But we were – Andre Iguodala won a finals MVP. But we knew that team wasn't good enough, and all we did was just, like, murder ourselves to say we need a game-changing player.
Yep.
And I understand what you're saying. There would be a release at the moment – of, okay, we don't have to worry about this anymore. But very, very soon after that, when we see this team winning 36 games or 35 games or whatever it is next year with no path to getting a best player on a championship team, we'll look at ourselves and we'll say, wait a minute, how are we going to get one of those guys? And I get what you're saying, but you're going to wake up on the other side of it realizing that coming across one of those players is – because before Joel, it was Iverson. And before Iverson, it was Barkley, which was, you know, 20 years before, 15 years before that. Mm-hmm. You know, like, this just doesn't come around that often. And I thank you for the call, Patrick. I just, like, I don't know what the path is after it. That's it. And we would all feel so much better the day after it happened. Because even if they traded him, I wouldn't throw a tantrum or anything. Sure. I would get it. I would understand. Mm-hmm. But I promise you, we'll wake up one day and figure out, oh, my God, we're 5 years away if we're lucky for lucking into one of those guys. And even get teams that do it the right way. Orlando's doing it a good way. They don't have one of those guys. They have a bunch of good players, but they don't have one of the – so, all right. So
although I like Paolo more than you do.
Yeah, I'm not a Paolo guy. So there's a bunch of players we have to learn about now,
yes.
Right? Ace Bailey, who we mentioned. We have to learn about Dylan Harper. We have to learn about VJ Edgecombe. We have to learn about Trey Johnson. The guy we will have on next will help us learn about those guys, and that is the one and only Phil Martelli. He will
Coach.
Join us to talk a little college hoops and players that might be pro players on the Sixers next year. 215-592-9494. Do you have a little hope with the Sixers again? Little hope. We are at the Surfside Invitational at Ramblewood Country Club. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.